Let's flip over to the issue of cetuximab as well as bevacizumab, and I'm curious about your take on the FLEX trial that was presented at ASCO.
By all standard, this is a positive study, but there are a few things that make me think. One is the progression-free survival that is not different, and the other one is the subgroup analysis that they presented on Asians. So, I don't know. It's a positive study, so eventually the drug will be registered in use. However, it is a drug that gives really a lot of side effects. So the rash, I mean, it's not something you can really control with this drug. You have it, and it's usually quite dramatic. And it also increases somewhat the toxicity of chemotherapy. So I don't think it's a very easy drug to use. And there's also the question of the combination with the chemotherapy regimen. Of course, people will start using it with carboplatin. But the positive data are really with cisplatin or elbin, so I'm not really sure that you can transpose the results so easily from one chemotherapy regimen to the other. It's like what you see with bevacizumab, so it works well with carboplatin, but not so well or not at all with cisplatin and cytarabine. So there may be chemotherapeutic drugs that sensitize better than others when combined with antibodies.
It's been interesting kind of seeing how investigators responded to that data, because it's kind of like even at ASCO, you ask them, well, if you could get the drug, forget reimbursement in the FDA, but risk-benefit, would you use it, for example, in a patient with squamous cell? And most people are saying yes. I know it's really impossible to put yourself in the position of a patient, but I think about the dermatologic toxicity, and I look at those numbers, and I wonder if I were the patient whether I'd want to buy into that.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. The difference in survival is very small, so I just don't know. I guess you will have to propose it to the patient, and I guess many patients will say, yes, let's do it.
Well, the other issue is, there's one thing to talk about, let's say, squamous cell, where you're not going to be able to use Bev, but then the Bev-eligible patient. And I actually interviewed Robert Perker at ASCO, and he was making an argument, and I really wasn't, kind of, not too bad when you think about it, that maybe even in the Bev-eligible patients, cetuximab would be a better choice just based on the lack of the threat of hemoptysis.
Mm-hmm.
What about that issue, the Bev-eligible patient?
Well, the risk is low. If you select the patients very carefully, it is really very low. And bevacizumab is not a terribly toxic drug altogether. I mean, you have some hypertension, some proteinuria, but aside from that, it's pretty well tolerated in general.
And certainly quality life-wise, I don't think there'd be a comparison to cetuximab.
Correct. So I'm not really sure that I agree with Dr. Pirker.
Yeah, no, I think most people probably don't. That's kind of what I think I'm hearing now from the investigators. They're still using bevacizumab where they were using it, but if they could, they'd bring cetuximab up as an option to other patients.